Unit 38, this is 2-1, attack 36. Copy, it's 1-4, show us on route, ETA 2 minutes.
Welcome everyone to Running Code, the podcast where you, the viewer, get to know a little bit more about us, the men and women of the Newport News Police Department. Hello, Melissa. How are you today?
Hi.
I am excited to be here.
I'm excited to be here, too.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good show today. We've got our highest ranking woman professional for the police department with us today, Captain Funiak. How are you?
I am good. How are you?
Good, good.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. Glad you came today. How are things going?
They're going well. I've already enjoyed my time here.
Good.
Good, 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 good. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Allie. How are things in Newport News going for you?
Great. So about myself, I'm from here, born and raised in Newport News, but my family is all from Pittsburgh. So my parents moved down here in the 70s. And I bring that up because Melissa and I are Steelers fans.
Absolutely.
And you, Morgan, have the audacity to wear the shirt that you're wearing today.
Clearly trying to incite rage today. Yeah.
That's right. I do what I can.
So for the viewers, in case you don't know, the Steelers, although they were amazingly mediocre this year, they somehow managed to get into the playoffs. And who are they playing?
The Buffalo Bills.
Yeah. Yeah. So
wild card. You got to be happy with the wild card.
Yeah. It's fine, though. You married into it. It's fine. I don't hold it against you.
I did marry into it. So, Allie, you're from Newport News.
I am.
Did you leave and then come back, or you lived here the entire time?
Well, so I did go to college, Virginia Tech.
Okay. We're going to let that one slide.
No, that's what I'm hearing a lot of today. So I did go to Virginia Tech. I'm a proud Hokie. And then I went to grad school at VCU, and I was in a program called the Public Safety Institute at VCU for a while. And while I was there, I was in a class that it was kind of like 5 grad school students were allowed in this class, but it was mainly public safety professionals. And so in the class was, at the time, the current captain over training and recruiting for NNPD. So I had mentioned that I planned on going into local law enforcement after college, and he grabbed me and recruited me. And I'm not kidding. I think after maybe a month after getting out of that class, I was joining the academy with Melissa. We were in the same academy together.
Absolutely. So, BLE 03, baby.
That's right. We did a lot of push-ups. A lot of push-ups that first day.
Was an interesting 21 weeks. Yes. So what do you do on the department? Tell everybody what your focus is right now.
So now I'm in community and youth outreach, CUIOD for short. So we have obviously all the outreach efforts, which is actually 39 different programs that we do to do outreach with the community. And then the other big sector that I have is the school resource officers fall under me as well. Wow. So, yeah.
Did you always have law enforcement on your radar? Is that something you had thought of as a young child, or is it just by happenstance that you kind of got into it?
Yeah, I don't know where it really started from, but I know that in high school, I can tell you, if you were to talk to anyone that knew me in high school, they knew that I was going to go into local law enforcement. And the first time I shot a gun was when I was 18, because my mom knew that, you know, that's what I wanted to do. So her boss was a competition shooter. And so he took me to the gun range one day, and I shot a handgun for the first time, and I was horribly bad. But the interesting thing was, he said, you're anticipating the recoil, which is a very common problem for shooters. And he corrected me from the very beginning. And I'm telling you, by the time I left that first day, I was hitting the target. So
speaking of competition shooting.
Yeah.
You held a pretty awesome position here in the department. Can you talk about it a little bit?
Yeah, I was on the SWAT team, which is called our Tactical Operations Unit, but I was a sniper for the TAC team.
Wow, that is an incredible responsibility.
It is. I loved it. So I went from an 18-year-old that had never shot a gun to go into the academy, and it just all seemed to click for me. I can't really explain it. From day one, I was like on with shooting. And the academy instructors actually from the very beginning were like, you know, when you're off probation, you should really consider joining TOU. So I did. And of course, you don't just join TOU and become a sniper. Right. So I was, it was set up a little different back then. So I was a perimeter unit. And then a sniper opening popped up and they wanted me to come out. And literally the tryout was like a shoot off.
Right.
Of four rounds.
Wow.
So I had never shot a bolt action rifle before. So I get out there and they basically show me the mechanics. And, you know, I got behind the gun, shot my cold bore and my three follow-ups, and that was that.
Now, what
I got
year,
the spot.
What year did you join the department and what year did you transition to the TOU?
Yeah, so I joined in 2006, July of 2006, and I joined in 2009. And then I went to sniper school and was a sniper in 2010.
Can you tell us a little bit about the training that you received?
Yeah, so we actually go, all of our snipers, I don't know if it's in existence anymore, but it was the Carlos Hathcock Sniper School. And you know, if you know him, he was a famous Marine sniper. So he actually was in the Hampton Roads area for a long time, and he trained with the Virginia Beach Police Department and also the SEAL teams over in Virginia Beach. So he established this sniper school, and it was designed for law enforcement agencies. But we went down to Meridian, Mississippi for that school, and it was 11 straight days. You did not get a day off. I know one of the last days we did all day of training, they sent us home and they said, at some point, we're going to call you back to simulate a call out. So they call us back at like midnight. We go on this call out until about 8 a.m. And then they're like, okay, it's over. And I was like, but we didn't do anything. We just laid here in the woods. And then they said, okay, you need to hurry back to the range house. And we did. And then they said, okay, your suspect is out on the firing line. You need to get out there and take the shot. So then we have to run out there. We have to take the shot. And then we did a whole day of training after that. So we were absolutely exhausted. It was intense. And I loved every minute of it, though. So
the TOU, I imagine that the training that you receive doesn't just stop there. The TOU trains constantly. Is that fair
Correct.
To say?
Yeah. So then for us on the other end, when you come back, a sniper should be shooting at least twice a month. So we would go out, you know, because temperature and all that stuff can really affect the gun. So you want to make sure that you've had some recent time on the gun. So when you have your cold bore shot, it's going where you want it to go. So yeah, we would train twice a month and the snipers would go off and do our specific sniper training. Yeah.
So you've been here since 06.
Mm-hmm.
Do you love the work?
I love the work. Yep. I'm still in it.
Yep.
Still
and
in
you're
it.
In CYOD.
Yep. Yeah. It's something I have previously never done before. I was really, I was mainly a patrol officer. I did patrol for 7 years. Didn't really, I guess, have the desire to do detective work because I just liked the, you're in patrol. You don't know what's going to happen next. So I just like that. I loved running call to call to call. I did put in for detective at some point, but I also put in for the training academy at the same time. And I just got the training academy before I got picked up for detective. So I did that very briefly. And then I got sergeant. So I was a patrol sergeant for a while. I did recruiting. That was very interesting. I got to work with Kelly quite a bit at that time. So yeah, I've learned a lot of, you know, things that I had no idea as a police officer I was going to learn some of the things that I did. made lieutenant, and I went, I was a patrol lieutenant before we did the district lieutenant. I went back to recruiting, and I did internal support. I did district lieutenant, and then I made captain. Melissa and I worked together in South Precinct back in 2022 for a while. So, yeah, now I'm in CYOD, which is very, very community oriented and, you know, dealing with the schools. It's a I've been learning. I'm still learning in CYOD.
So you talked a little bit about being a patrol lieutenant. You also had another, I guess, role when you were a patrol lieutenant.
Yes.
What was that role and how challenging was that?
Yeah, I was. The way that it works out is when you if you were a former TOU member, then if you get rank in the future, they look at you for being the commander of TOU. So when I made lieutenant, I became the deputy commander of TOU. And then at some point, the commander got promoted to captain, and then I became the overall commander of TOU. It is very challenging because when you get the call out, you are on the command bus with Chief Drew, with all the assistant chiefs. You're getting all this information coming in from your negotiators, from the guys, you know, you not only patrol, but your TOU members that are actually out on the scene. It is a lot, and you're constantly running through, these are our next steps. If those steps don't work, then we're going to do this. You're always trying to think of, you know, what could happen? What are all our routes? So, yeah, it was fun, too. That was fun.
It's fair to say that as TOU commander, you really want to resolve this in the most peaceful manner.
Yes.
So you're
yes.
constantly gathering data, information, hypotheticals, mm-hmm. and so mm-hmm. forth and so on, and processing that.
Yes. Yes.
That's an incredible task. I mean, mm-hmm. obviously, those of us who don't do it have such a great admiration, you know, for mm-hmm. those who do, because the responsibility is immense. Now, I think I would be remiss, we would be remiss, Melissa, if we didn't yes. mention that in the 33 years that I've been here, you are the first female SWAT commander. Is that true?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I believe there was a regional distinction for that, too, wasn't there?
I don't know how far it goes, but it goes quite a way, I think. So. I don't know if I'm the first one in the state. I don't know. But yeah, definitely in the region.
Definitely mm-hmm. in the region. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to know, Allie, what do you do in your time off? I mean, what do you do to enjoy your life and have that work-life balance?
Softball and more softball. Yep. And recovering from softball and then playing softball again.
Wait a minute. So, speaking of softball.
Yes. Allie and I played together on a team.
Yeah.
Yep.
And this is where we mention that there was an MVP award
yes.
given out.
Yes.
And the one and only Morgan Tejans was the recipient of the MVP award.
Yes, wow. We played the military that day.
Yes.
And I think that the reason I got the MVP award is because you picked up the wrong trophy. It should have been the LVP, the least valuable player.
I did maybe want to help out your self-esteem a little bit, but yeah.
And here it is. I thought I'd bring it today to show the world.
Now that I look at it, it's kind of a tiny trophy.
That's right. That's
you know,
right.
Hey.
We actually, all jokes aside, me, you, my wife, Britt, one of our colleagues, played together on a league.
Yes.
And I remember, and this has never happened to me, that I would come up to bat, and the very people that came to cheer us on would say, put in the other Tejans, we need to score, yeah. referring to my uh-huh. wife. That's how terrible.
Wait, I was thinking yeah. your brother, but your
no,
wife.
No, it was yeah. my wife. Mm-hmm. She played softball in high
it.
School.
Yes.
Yeah, that's how bad I was. Yeah. But it was enjoyable.
Of course.
Yeah.
yeah. I am flying to Vegas tomorrow for a tournament, yeah. actually.
You actually have been
tournament.
All over the U.S., correct?
I have. So that's one of the reasons I enjoy playing softball is because, so I play in a women's league and then I play on a co-ed team. Actually, it was the city's co-ed team this year, which I had not played on that team before. But yeah, the women's league, we have a World Series every year. So, and it switches all over the country of where it's wow. being hosted. So in September, I was in California, going to Vegas tomorrow for a tournament. Been to Texas, New Orleans, Kansas City. Wow. Next year, it's in Memphis. So, yeah.
Speaking of women, you've been kind of championing a movement with the Newport News Police Department and departments around the country.
Yes.
The 30 by 30. You yes. want to talk a little bit about that?
Yep. So we are, Newport News Police Department is a member agency of 30 by 30. It is a national push from actually the National Institute of Justice, which is the research agency of the U.S. Department of Justice. And so the push is to try to get 30% of law enforcement to be female by 2030. And so, yeah, we signed back in 2022, I believe. And at the time, our agency was in, I think 14%. It was the low teens. And now I'm happy to say we're right around 22% women on NNPD.
Trending in the right direction.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
Awesome. Now, when you think about what it means to be a female leader on the department, what kind of ideas or thoughts come into your mind when you think about what that means to you?
So Well, there are some different things that we think about. So one of the things that we'd really love to tackle is childcare. You know, it is a big thing for women is worrying about the care of the children while they're at work. And police work is hard. It's shift work, you know, and you're gone for a long time. So those are the things that we start thinking about and we're trying to tackle. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then there's just not that many of us. I still think from a leadership perspective, women leaders on the agency, I think we're around 12 or 13% of our leadership is female. And so what does that look like for our female officers, you know, to at least see that, you know, some of the women on the agency are some of their supervisors, you know?
So you've mentioned leadership and obviously you're one that takes it seriously. You've moved through the ranks, mm-hmm. right? I've known you for a while. Melissa's known you for a while. You're very good at what you do, especially
Thank you.
In CYOD. Very
mm-hmm.
talented. You got a great group of people. You're
yes.
leading them the right way. How important is leadership to you as a captain for the Newport News Police Department?
I mean, I don't. So I realize that I am viewed as a role model to other people. You know, it is a huge deal. I kind of just think I'm coming in and I just want to do good work, right? But I know that with what I've done and what my title is, that does mean a lot to other people. I come across people in the community, actually. I went to an event at an elementary school and this woman came up to me and she said, yeah, I know exactly who you are because I used to work for the department. She's like, I used to be a dispatcher and now I'm a teacher. But she said, you're a hero of mine.
Wow.
So I know that goes a long way. And like I said, I just, you know, honestly, I've just been having fun. All right. So I come in, I have fun. And yeah, I've done some things that are can be viewed as a little outside the norm for women. You know, the whole sniper thing and TOU commander and now being a captain. But I know that that means a lot to other people to show the progress that women, you know, have made.
Yeah. And as a father of a daughter, I think that's very important. I think it's very mm-hmm. important. And I think you are a role model for not only women, but for people in general that want to get into this job. Because I think, you know, Allie Funiak does it the right way. She leads with humility and she gets the job done and she gets it well. And people respect you.
Thank you.
So, you know, on behalf of those who have children, specifically daughters who are really who are driven to be leaders. Thanks for making, you know, thanks for being that example. So,
wow. Thank you. Oh,
what kind of advice would you give to a woman who is thinking or starting to think that law enforcement may be the direction they want to go in? What kind of advice would you want them to?
My advice is just give it a shot, right? I've only gotten to where I have just because I put forth the effort, right? I went for it. I guess I should probably mention that I do have a disease, actually. I have rheumatoid arthritis, and I've had it since I was 2. So when I got to the point of applying for the department, it was actually, I was a little worried about it. So I got to the point of the city physical, and the doctor sat me down and was like, you know, I just, you know, saw this in your file. I really don't think this is the job for you. Mm. And, you know, like I said, I've played softball my whole life. I know what I can do and can't do. And I am so happy that I didn't just say, okay, and walked away. We had a discussion. He allowed me to at least get a letter from my personal doctor who agreed that, you know, he thought I could do this job. And here I am. So my advice is if you think that there's something that is holding you back, you might be surprised, you know, just go for it. And if there is something that you need to work on, like I didn't make the SWAT team on my first try. I had to try out a second time, but I tried the first time. I figured out what do I need to work on? And I went back home. I worked on it, came back out. I made it the second time. So really it's just go for it. And even with getting promotions, you just have to put in for it, right? And you've been one of my mentors over the years. You always encourage, and I think encourage both of us to put in for leadership positions, right? And just, I got a lot of feedback from you, right, about how to manage the various ranks, and yeah, just go for it.
Yeah, I'm flattered. That's very kind of you. Kind of caught me off guard, to be honest with you. But, you know, I think as leaders, we need to identify those people who have that, who show that propensity to lead well. Because I think some of the greatest leaders in the world, to include in our agency, don't have rank. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know what I mean when I say that?
Mm-hmm. They're the ones that are leaders. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Yeah. Absolutely. So when we as leaders identify them, it's our job to encourage them to move forward and to give them the advice and tools they need to. I think that's where you produce the most solid leaders. Is the ones that are first respected in the field when they have absolutely no rank.
Mm-hmm.
That's my personal opinion. So let's do this. Let's check in with Kel, see how much time we have, shall we?
How are we doing, Kelly?
We got a few more minutes.
Yeah, do we have time for rapid fire?
Definitely.
Do we?
Always.
All right.
Kelly, how are your how's your team going to do this weekend?
Oof.
I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
Yeah. Listen,
their record doesn't show much.
But. I almost rather the Bills t-shirt than anything that has to do with the Cowboys.
Hey. Kelly.
We love you anyway.
Kelly, go Packers. Right? Go Packers.
All right. Rapid fire. You want to start, Captain?
Sure. It sounds, I'd be glad to start. Sounds like, are we against Kelly? Or I don't know really football well, so.
She's a Cowboys fan.
Okay.
I guess I should say that.
Right.
Yeah.
You know how that goes.
All right. I wish your team the
Instead
best.
Instead of go Cowboys, it's no Cowboys.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. So here we go. Rapid fire. Question number one. If you could have your pick, BMW, Mercedes, or Porsche?
Yeah. Why are they all German cars?
Let's ask our producer, Kelly. Why are they all German cars?
It's just what we came up with.
Just pick one, Cap. I am like half German, so maybe it makes sense.
But I'm assuming that's a no on those cars.
I mean, if I had to choose between those three, probably Porsche. And by the way, I think the correct German pronunciation is Porsche.
Have
to,
yep, that's right.
The E is gets,
So
but
are
no,
you also?
Honestly, none. I'm a Jeep girl.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I was just going to ask, are you also a member of the grammar and pronunciation police as well?
I I may have driven a Porsche before.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
The person who owns said Porsche does not know that. So I hope they don't watch this.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go. Question number two.
Yeah.
Chicken, fish, or steak?
Yeah, I do like food. I think this was. Was this strategic as well?
Yeah, that was an understatement.
I guess maybe better would be appetizer, main, dessert.
All. Yes, 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 and yes. Yeah, no, if I had to pick, I would eat cupcakes all day long.
Okay. Thanks for your honesty.
But yeah, chicken, fish, or steak? Steak.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Chicken for me. What do you say, Melissa?
Oh, I'm probably a steak girl.
Steak.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what it is about chicken. I'm not even a Chick-fil-A fan.
Oh, now that's
I know. I know. Everybody's like, oh, my God.
There goes
I don't.
A sponsorship.
How in the world?
Okay.
We're going to edit that one out.
Wow. All right. Question.
We just lost some viewers.
Question number three. Country, rock, funk, or jazz?
Okay. Rock. I actually, country music is like nails on a chalkboard for me.
Oh, gosh. Even I like country music.
Don't like it.
Okay.
I know I'm in the South. I'm supposed to. I don't get it.
I'm a fan of all of them. Yeah, I'm a fan of
all
of them. Smooth jazz.
I don't know if we can really move past this, though. Didn't you have some sort of, you're connected to music somehow, right?
Yeah, I played in a pickup band when I was young. Let's move on to question
Long
number
hair,
four.
Right?
I don't think it was a pickup band.
Yeah.
I really feel like there was more
Did you have long flowing hair?
Yes.
Like a rocker?
Yes. Question number four, Melissa.
Okay. Anyway. I feel like there's a captain on the department that may have that photo. We're going to have to bring that on here.
There's way, a lot more podcasts for that.
Absolutely. All right. Comedy, horror, action, or drama?
Action. I do enjoy The Exorcist, though. That's one of my favorites.
Oh, no.
I enjoy a good mystery. I love a good mystery movie.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely love it. Sherlock Holmes, I love mysteries. Absolutely. All right, question number five and the last question. Here we go.
Okay.
All expense paid trip. Are you going to Asia, Africa, Europe, or Australia?
Europe. Yeah. Yeah. I have a list of all these various countries I'm going to go see at some point. But yeah, I am, so my name is Czech, and then, so I am like half Czech and half German. So definitely like Czech Republic and Germany are on my list. Wow. And then Ireland, definitely too. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I did London last year. I'm headed to Milan this year. I cannot wait.
Milan.
Yes. Yeah. I had to do Italy.
Okay, we'll work on your Italian before you go.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Exciting.
So thanks for coming. We really appreciate you taking time out of your day. I know you have a very busy schedule as a captain. We appreciate you taking the time. You're a fascinating individual and really a trailblazer. You really
Thank
are.
You.
And I know you don't think that way because you're very humble, as I stated earlier, but you truly are. And you're setting really the path for other people. All the respect in the world for you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
So we'll be back in a couple of weeks. Thanks for joining us. Cheers, everyone.